Welcome to the second ever Jimmy's Army podcast. My name is Daniel Hernandez. I am hosting this podcast along with Mr. Tyler Williams. How are you, Tyler?
Hey, longtime listener, first time caller.
And with us as well is our favorite Englishman, all the way from somewhere in England, Aaron Walsh.
Hi, I understand I got to play the role of Ryan Hernandez. They'll be calling in my inner emo. And coming to realize that the only reason I'm on this podcast is because I'm Daniel Hernandez's little brother.
Yes, see, it's true for all you listeners out there. Ryan tried to deny it, but it's true. Kieran, thank you for being involved with this. Just so everybody knows, Ryan was so terrible in the first pod that we terminated his contract right after the first pod. So anyways, that's not true, but... Kieran will be in with us today. My brother is chasing terrible music, and where is he, guys? Anybody know?
I want to say Atlanta.
Atlanta? Yeah, it's not important. It's really not important. Tyler looked like he was going to say something, but he wasn't, so.
I just really didn't care.
We got a lot going on in the pod today. We're going to talk a little bit about the game that should have been LA Galaxy 2. In case you guys didn't know, there was so many tornadoes that we couldn't have that game. But anyways, we'll talk a little bit about that. We're going to go over some more player bios. We're going to cover the rest of the team this week. We're going to talk a little bit about who we're going to face this upcoming week. We'll talk about some beer. Talk about some English things with our friend Kieran. But before we do all that, I wanted to take a minute and thank all you guys who listened to our first episode, favorited us on Twitter, or followed us on Twitter, followed us on Facebook. It was really awesome to get all the feedback from you guys, all the encouragement. Please keep spreading the word for us, and we'll go in. We'll start on this stuff. Tyler, Kieran, you guys got anything before we start?
Nope.
Let's just get it going.
All right, guys. What's the tradition? Everybody grab your brew. Let's pop them, boys. Oh, that's a beautiful thing. Always beautiful. Tyler, what are you drinking over there?
Well, today I'm actually drinking the limited edition or limited release Coffee Czar. It's a coffee Russian Imperial Stout by Roughtail.
Very, very nice. Roughtail, Midwest City, shout out. Kieran, what you drinking in there?
Today I'm drinking one of my favorite local brews. It's from Coop. It's F5, and it's delicious.
Oh, F5. Can't go wrong with that. So, in case you guys didn't know, we have relegated Kieran to my man cave here at our podcast center because we don't want any mics to interfere. So, anyways, he's there in the, what is Men in Blazers called? The panic room? That's, I guess, where he's at. So, and I am drinking the lovely Coop, the Elevate Wheat. Love everything that Coop does. So, we got Coop, Roughtail, and What were you drinking, the F5, Kieran?
Yeah, F5. Delicious.
Oh, yeah. So Coop as well. All good stuff. And actually, I know later on we'll be drinking some Anthem as well, the Arjuna, which is just a delicious beer as well. So all you local brews out there, we're still drinking your stuff. Just waiting for the sponsor calls to come in. So, all right, let's go ahead and get into the first segment. We're going to recap that lovely game against LA Galaxy 2.
And oh, what a game it was.
Oh, amazing. Gosh.
Thrilling. Edge of your seat type stuff, right?
You should have been there for the second half. It was suns out, guns out for that shirtless spot.
That's right. That's right. I know I for sure had my shirt off for that second half. Well, in case you guys didn't know, we actually didn't have a game. It was decided Friday that the weather for Saturday was going to be too bad. So, of course, you know, whenever they decide those things, what happens, guys? Anybody want to clue me in on that?
They cancel them.
Well, yes, but what happens after you cancel for weather? What happens to the weather?
Nothing happens.
That's right, and that's exactly what happens. So, We had beautiful weather on Saturday, perfect enough for a game. But instead of having a game, we were sitting on our rear ends drinking beer instead of standing up and drinking beer, cheering for our energy. So, anyways, do we still have some good, bad, and ugly for that game?
I've got some.
Me too.
All right, Tyler, what are yours?
Well, my good, I'm going to have to say, is no one was injured by all that sunshine. Ooh, it was just scorching hot. The bad is you might have some sunburns. And then the ugly, I'd have to say, is we didn't have a game.
I agree. Kieran, give us some of your good, bad, and ugly for that game.
My good, the game that was played in my head, was when I found out Jimmy did actually sign that last-minute contract. And he came on and scored a hat-trick while still in goal. And if it doesn't reach the Ballon d'Or stage, then we well and truly know that Seb Blatter and Qatar have got that rigged as well.
Very nice.
My bad would be that we're seeing LA Galaxy's not second team, but third team, but this will be somewhere down the line. And my ugly, I don't know, just the state of California itself.
Hey, watch who you're saying that to.
Hey, Tyler is like 7 hours away from LA, so he regrets that statement. He does not like that.
I said three.
Well,
three.
It might as well be seven, okay? So, I don't have any good, bad, and ugly for that game. I think that I agree with everybody's good, bad, and uglies there. And I think we were all disappointed we didn't have a game. But for all of you out there who did want to see LA, we can expect to see them, what, August 4th? I think the game was rescheduled to. Yeah?
Yeah,
August 4th. Yeah, something like that. So, anyways, we'll look forward to seeing them again. All right, since we got through all of the thrilling events in the Tornadic game, let's go ahead and do a few more player bios. I know we covered a few last week. We just covered a couple each, but we really want to take some time, since we didn't have a game to talk about, to cover the rest of the players on the team. So we kind of divided the players up. Tyler's going to go first here, and he's going to cover his portion of the team, and Kieran will cover his, and I'll cover mine. Hopefully by the end of this, you'll have heard the name of every player that you'll see out there this season. So, Ty, you want to take that over?
Yeah, so basically my first player is going to be somebody that you all should have heard of. We mentioned him last week, and his name is Sebastian Greatballs Dahlgaard. He's a midfielder. He was born in, and I'm going to mess this up, I'm always going to mess this up, and I'm going to, you know, just live with myself. He was born in Odense, Denmark. His last club was Brøndby BK, and they were in the Danish first division.
Sebastian, if you're listening, we'll add you to the list of Danish players with connections to this team that should come onto this podcast and teach us where you're from and what teams you played for. We'd love to learn how to say those right.
And you should also add him to the list of people who want to punch Tyler.
Yes.
Yeah, I was actually just going to say, I was going to add him onto the list of people I need to apologize to because of this podcast.
Jimmy, I know, listens to this, so, you know, we have a fancy recorder now, so maybe if you can just tell us how to say those on the recorder, we'll correct those and make sure that our Danish players are well represented.
Next up is Mikey Lopez, the midfielder for us as well. He was born in Dallas, Texas. He actually logged 8 games with Sporting Kansas City, as well as split 14 games between OK City and Orlando last season. During college, when he attended University of North Carolina, so he was a Tar Heel, and he was named the ACC Freshman of the Year. Next up, we have Reed McKenna. He's a midfielder as well. He was born in San Diego, California. Oh, yes, 6 hours away from me. I'm sorry. Played for UC Santa Barbara, the Gauchos, which I had to look up what a gaucho was. It was actually it's a resident of Pampas, Gran Chaco, or Patagonian grasslands. Somewhere in South America.
Okay, so not only are the Danish upset with you, but now the South Americans who listen to this podcast are, because you can't pronounce anything outside of good old American.
Just an ignorant white boy. We have Daniel Gonzalez, another midfielder. He was born in Yelm, Washington. His last club was the Kitsap Pumas. We seem to have quite a few of those on the team. He played college at Port Angeles, Washington. for Peninsula College. He helped the team to the 2012 NWAACC Championship.
Prestigious is what that is.
Yes. Then there's Brian Byers, goalkeeper. He was actually born in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hometown boy right there.
Hometown, OKC.
Woo-hoo. He last played for USAO and ended his college career with 46 shutouts and 64 wins. He holds the record for both of those at USAO. He went to high school at Putnam City North, so some of you might even know him out there. I don't know. And my last player is going to be Peter Toth. He's a midfielder. He was born in Budapest, Hungary. I'm going to have someone from Hungary upset with me because he last played with Zalegerszegi. It's of the Nemzeti Bajnokság.
That was awful.
I don't either. It's a second tier Hungarian football league. He's played there since 2010.
I think we just so you guys know, we always stick Tyler with the foreign players because he has to try and pronounce their names, and so it's high comedy for everybody involved.
Sadly, they know I'm not really going to look that part up. I'm just going to try to wing it, and I'm going to fail miserably.
All right, hey, very well done. We hope you learned a few more players there. Kieran, who do you got?
Okay, my first player is Omar Daly. His number, he plays in jersey number 18. He's 34 years old. However, if you want to check out his profile picture, he looks like he's 12. So in 16 years' time, he'll be able to celebrate his first beer, being able to buy it legally in America. He came from Minnesota United. Got to say he was born in Jamaica, and what's really impressive is that he's had over 50 caps for Jamaica. He scored in a couple of CONCACAF qualifying matches, CONCACAF Gold.
Hopefully not against the United States.
I think you're fine there. I think you're good, so you don't have to worry about beating him up. He also had a friendly against England, and I'm guessing naturally he lost, but I could be wrong.
Okay, biased.
Okay, my second player, and I apologize for the pronunciation if I get it wrong. He plays in number 3. His name is Pibo Due.
That's Due. You were right the first time.
Due. I'm good stuff. Stayed with that one.
Why don't you give him the foreigners?
He's 23 years old. He's from Maryland. His last club was Phoenix Wolves. And he's having a good career with us so far. So it's always exciting to watch him play.
Phoenix is actually now Arizona United SC, just for everybody out there who didn't know.
That would have been me. Thanks for that.
No problem.
Okay, my third player, he plays in the number 4 shirt. It is Cyprian Hendrick. He's a defender. He was born in Douala, Cameroon. And once again, his last team was Phoenix. Is it Phoenix Arizona, you're saying?
It was, it was Phoenix. Now they're Arizona United.
Awesome. And he made 14 starts last season. And he played 1,433 minutes. Had 9 shots. So not bad for a defender.
Very nice.
A lot better than a lot of England strikers. So shout out to him. Okay. Number 6, we have Danny Delgado. He is a midfielder as well.
Definitely, it's Delgado, okay? Oh, my Delgado. Hispanic roots make me correct you right there.
Apologies.
My California roots make me want to correct you as well. So.
You're about to correct me again, Tyler. Is it Escondido, California?
Yes, Escondido.
Wow, what a guess. Okay, so his last team was Ventura Country Fusion, and he scored his first professional goal in his first start against the Pittsburgh Riverhounds on July 12th. So, well done, Danny.
Very nice, very nice. I guess that's me, right?
Now I've got two more people to talk to.
No, you're good.
Just pauses like a tease.
Got to hook the listeners in.
Like, got ya.
Okay, so this is number 11. He's a forward. His name is Casey Townsend. I particularly like his last name. It's a good, solid English name. He could, you know, be related to the great Andy Townsend, who played for my beloved Norwich City, as well as for Chelsea back in the 90s. So I think he's going to be one of my favourite players just for his last
champions.
Name.
Champions. Chelsea champions.
He was born in Traverse City, Michigan, and his last club was the Tampa Bay Rowdies. And then finally...
That would be Tampa Bay Rowdies, you Englishman.
Apologies again. But I wanted to do a special shout-out because even though we're doing a squad here, one of my favourite people at the club is Mr. James Ritchie. He's one of the assistant coaches, and he's from Glasgow. And I always see him up the ski slims, and he's one of the greatest guys I've met. He's really keen. You know, he loves the city. He loves the team. And he's always eager to speak to fans. So I really like that in a coach. So I want to give him a special shout-out as well.
Well, if you're so keen with him, then ask him on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I should. Yeah.
Good stuff. Yeah. Well, let me tell you, my favorite moment of Coach Ritchie is watching the replay of the Tulsa game at Tulsa. And towards the end, it got a bit chippy. And, well, I don't know if he would want me to divulge this, but he had to be pulled back away from the Tulsa area.
The true Glaswegian right there. True Scottish guy.
That's right. That's right. And I always appreciated Coach Ritchie a little bit more after that. So good stuff there. I'll go ahead and finish up the roster. My first player is Michael Harris, defender. He wears the number 19 kit. He played at University of Washington, so he was a Husky. He is a rookie center back. This is his first year playing pro, and he has 4 sub appearances. He played 4 times, coming to most games we played this season. Second player, Christian Duke. He played for the University of San Diego in college from Overland Park, Kansas. He was drafted by Sporting KC in 2013, and actually he played with Orlando City the year they won the USL Pro League before they moved to MLS. He played in 13 matches for us last year, and he's a talented player for sure. Next player is Greg Mulamba. He has no appearances for the team yet, but he is from Johannesburg, South Africa. He wears the number 21 kit. Sorry, Christian Duke wears the 20 kit. Mulamba wears the 21 kit. Kyle Gregg is my next player. Yeah, number 22. He's a fan favorite for sure. He scored the first ever goal in Energy FC history. He's from Olathe, Kansas. He started most games for us last year. This year, he's subbed in just about every game. He has a goal and assist on the year. He scored a goal against Austin, and he assisted on the game winner that Danny Koenig scored against Seattle. So he's been doing well this year, and definitely a favorite of mine. Next player is our final goalie on the roster, Ray Clark, another Oklahoma City native from Norman. He actually played for the first ever professional soccer team we had here. I don't know if you guys remember Oklahoma City FC. It was a PDL team, but he played for that team. He had quite a few appearances. Well, not quite a few. He had a couple appearances towards the end of last season. Did pretty well. He hasn't played so far this season, but he is our third keeper there. He wears the 24 kit. And my final player, number 26, Cody Andrews. He is from Shawnee, Kansas. He's played for Harrisburg City before in the USL Pro League, but we actually got him from the Missouri Comets in the Major Indoor Soccer League. So, Ty, I know you love you some indoor soccer.
I do. It's second love of my life behind beer.
Cody was a late signing. We didn't get him until after a couple of games, but he came in late against the Seattle game and actually started the Austin game in place of Cyprian Hedrick. So that's the roster there. We hope you learned a little bit of something about each player on the team and have a little bit more of an understanding of the players if you see him out there. Anything you guys want to add about any of the players that we missed out on?
One of my favorites is actually Gareth Evans. And I remember walking down for the home opener on the first day, and I bumped into him as he was walking into the ground. And he was a great guy. And he seems to care about the fans as well. So I always have soft spots for those players who take their time to speak to the fans and stuff. So I want to give him a shout out as well. Gazza.
Absolutely. We covered Gazza in the first podcast because we called him one of our pivotal players. And he's a good guy. He hates Oklahoma weather from the tweets I've been reading. Hopefully he's listened to the podcast, but if you have, Gaz, we love you. Anything else, Ty, you want to add about the roster?
No, just to kind of add on to what you said, we also hate Oklahoma weather, so, you know, when it hinders us from watching our games or having our games, a little upsetting, I guess, is a polite word to say.
That's a good word for it.
So,
go ahead, Kieran.
So that reminded me, I bumped into James Ritchie on Skinny's on Saturday. And
Skinny Slim, shout out to Skinny Slim.
Skinny Slim's greatest bar. They opened up early for me so I could watch my Canaries play, dominate Ipswich. And he came in with his lovely wife, and I just had a little chat with him about the game being cancelled. And you could see how frustrated he was, saying, you know, what hard work the player's done during the week. And it's just so frustrating when a game gets cancelled out of your control, really. But I can understand why these kind of games get cancelled with weathers like that, but...
Oh, yeah, no, it's completely understandable. I mean, you know, we never want to hinder anyone's good time, but we also don't want people to go out there and danger their own safety, you know. One of those things that I do want to say is we're just kind of thankful that nothing really did happen, because, what was it, Wednesday before, we had some really bad storms and a lot got damaged. So, you know, it could have been bad. Thankfully, it wasn't. But the fact that it wasn't kind of makes us a little more disappointed.
Yeah, you know what? I'm calling Bush League on all of this. I appreciate you guys wanting to be nice about not endangering people, but I'm calling LA Galaxy 2 out right now for not flying in. Nothing happened, okay? If you listen to the weathermen out there in Oklahoma City, well, that's your fault, because they get wrong about 75% of the time. So all I want to say is it's Bush League. LA should have came out. We should have had that game. But anyways, before I get too heated, we'll go ahead and move on. Since we didn't have this game, we will talk about our next game. And it's another big one, actually. It's a team that we're all familiar with, Seattle Sounders FC. I know I'm interested in seeing Dempsey and Obafemi Martins. How about you?
Oh, yeah. No, the most dynamic forward pairing in the league? Yeah, please. I'd love to see that.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to see Dempsey, right?
Captain America.
Well, I don't want to get your guys' hopes up out there if you're not familiar with the league, but we won't see Dempsey and we won't see Obafemi Martins unless something crazy happens. But we will see a Seattle Sounders FC 2 team that we beat 2-1 at home in our home opener. This game is actually away now. We are playing in Seattle. The game is Friday, May 15th, 8:30 p.m. our time. So we're looking forward to that. Again, we did win that last game 2-1 on a 88-minute goal by Danny Koenig.
Yep.
Yeah, it was beautiful. I still remember Koenig just running straight into the supporters section. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing. So let's talk a little bit about that game. What are you guys looking for, Kieran or Tyler? Kieran, how about you? What are you looking forward to in this game?
I'm just looking forward to seeing some good football, to be honest. Hopefully another last-minute screamer for us to get the 3 points. But just I want to see a good game where I can see players working hard and putting their whole body and soul for the team.
Absolutely. Tyler, what are you looking for in this game?
Well, besides coming home with 3 points, which is, I think, what everyone's looking for, I kind of just want it to be exciting, you know? Like, the last time we played them was just so exciting. There was just so much tension there. And when Koenig scored that goal, it erupted, which was pretty amazing. I mean, there are videos out there from fans. There's videos out there on USL about it. And, I mean, it's not all over, but you could see the highlights. It definitely erupted when that happened.
Oh, yeah, it was big time. I know, again, being our home opener and being able to steal the game late was huge. I think it's huge also because if you look at our upcoming schedule, let's look at it for a second. We have, what is this, May 15th is Seattle. 2 days later, we play Vancouver Whitecaps away. And then not too far after that, what, 6 days later, we play Sacramento Republic at home. So that's you know, what, three games in about a week span. And, you know, this is probably, honestly, with five games in hand and pretty much every other USL pro team having played 8-9 games, this is a critical time for us to kind of assert ourselves in the league. So I think this is a very important game. Tyler, what do you want to tell us about how Seattle did in the last game?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we'll touch on it a little bit more in our next segment around the league, but a later segment. But Seattle got spanked. I mean, they lost 3-0 to Sacramento Republic in Sacramento, and it was, from what I saw, pretty ugly. It was not, I mean,
one-sided.
Sacramento took it to them. The goals were pretty. I will admit that the goals were pretty. So it's not like they scored too much, garbage goal. But Sacramento definitely banked him.
Okay, we're gonna take a quick break here, and have an advertisement for you guys. We'll be back in just a second.
Hey, have you guys ever wondered where can I watch a game and drink a beer?
I have.
Me well, too.
Well, now, guys, you can watch all the Energy FC away games at Skinny Slim's downtown. And you can drink a beer.
Beer? Beer?
Beer?
That's right. Watch this latest Energy FC game Friday at 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time at Skinny Slim's.
But. Where is Skinny Slim's?
You can locate Skinny Slim's at 201 East Main Street in downtown Oklahoma City.
Beer. Beer.
Skinny's, where everybody knows your name.
All right, we're back, and we're going to go ahead and talk about something that's very related to beer. Very important in Oklahoma City right now. We are talking about Craft Brew Week.
My favorite week.
Who has heard? Yes, that's right. It's a great week. Who out there has heard of Craft Brew Week? Ty, you heard of Craft? You heard of it?
Yeah, I heard about it last year. Yeah. It was a big deal.
It is a big deal. This year it's going from May 9th to the 17th. Oh, beer pop. Beer pop, everybody. May 9th to the 17th. There are lots of great things going on around the city related to Craft Brew Week. Let me tell you a couple of ways to figure out what's going on. So your wonderful Jimmy's Army Podcast Twitter account posted the schedule, but let me give you a couple of Twitter names to follow here. If you follow at Thirsty Beagle, again, that's at Thirsty Beagle.
Is that a dog?
That is a dog. A dog that wants a drink
a
of water.
Dog.
Yes.
Wait. That dog drinks beer?
It's
my
of
kind
age.
Of, dog.
Of age, yes.
Okay, thank God.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody needs to be of age here, okay? So again, at Thirsty Beagle. The second Twitter account that follows all this is at Beer Is Okay. Do you guys get the play on words on that?
Okay, you know they're O-N-K, Oklahoma.
But
it's
more than okay.
So not only is, well, Kieran, our state is okay.
Clever.
Yes.
Clever.
Yeah, clever. Clever.
I think our state is great.
Well, our initials aren't great, okay? It's okay. So at Beer Is Okay and at Thirsty Beagle are the places to follow on Twitter for all
perhaps
the
should,
things that are happening.
Just sign a petition to make Oklahoma great. Great Lahoma. Then it could be beer is great.
You know,
that was awful. Sorry, guys.
Yeah,
jeez. Yeah,
I mean, I'm feeling generous right now, but I feel like that should get cut.
Cut it.
Yeah. Jeez. Oh my goodness. I am the worst podcast host in the world. I didn't even mention our wonderful producer/editor Matt Crane, who is at home. I'm sorry, guys.
Oh, and Matt. Just celebrated a birthday, huh? Congrats to you, my friend. What are you, like 13 now or something? Matt's not with us because he can't drink beer.
and he can't talk, so we can talk all the crap we want on him, and he can't say a thing. So forgive me, Matt, for not mentioning you in the beginning of the podcast. That was terrible of me. In case you guys don't know, Matt does all the work, and we just sit here and talk and drink beer. So,
to Matt.
Just want to mention that, another one. That last beer pop before this one was brought to you by Rough Tales 12th Round. Delicious.
I'm having another Coop Elevate. What are you having in there, Kieran?
Sadly, as I got the short straw, and I am Ryan Hernandez, I have gone for the Prickly Pear by Shiner.
Because what?
You have to lose your man card to drink this. It's a lovely, girly, fruity, summery drink.
No wonder we put you in the back room.
No wonder we won the Revolutionary War, but we won't get into that. So anyways, Craft Brew Week, May 9th to 17th. Follow at Thirsty Beagle, at Beer is Okay. Also, if you go on to Facebook, it is Oklahoma City Craft Brew Week. Oh, I'm sorry. Oklahoma City Craft Beer Week. That is a Facebook page you can follow. It has the schedule and all the good things that are going on. Anybody want to tell me about some events that are going on? Kieran, do you have the schedule back there?
No, I don't. But I can tell you that on Saturday at, I believe, Tapworks, they've got the Craft Brew craft brew carnivalness. And I've got the late night ticket. It's 4 hours of drinking for $35.
Jeez, that's impressive that he remembered that without the schedule. That's really impressive. Tyler, why don't you give us something that's going on this week?
Well, today, May 14th, Thursday, which is today, you get to hear this. There's Anthem Brewing Tour and Tasting at Anthem Brewing Company, or with Anthem Brewing Company, that is. Coop Ale Works tapping at 6 p.m., though. So you get to go to either one of those or both of those if you've got the time. Go check out some of their beers.
The Coop Ale Works tapping is at Tapworks Ale House as well, just so everybody knows, 6 p.m.
And don't forget to Uber.
Don't forget to Uber, yeah.
Please.
It's good, strong beer.
You can Uber, you can taxi, you can, what's that other one called?
Walk?
Your mom?
Lyft, L-Y-F-T, Lyft. You can Lyft.
Was that an appearance from our producer slash editor?
Oh my gosh, it's like a unicorn.
Oh my goodness.
Now we feel stupid. You can't hear him. You're all in the know.
In case you guys didn't know, our producer slash editor just added to the podcast, but you'll never hear him. Anyway, so yes, Coop Ale Works is tapping at 6 p.m. at Tapworks Ale House. Keep going.
Green Flash is actually going to have a Silva Stout tapping at 8 p.m. at Tapworks. Then there is the Rooftop Brew Hop. That's Broadway Wine Merchants in the Automobile Alley. They're gonna have an event there, and then we'll have the Anthem Tap Invasion at Oak and Ore. And lastly, Prairie Tap Takeover and Dinner Pairing. That's going to be at Saints Pub.
Okay, so a lot going on there. Looks like
you can. And that's just Thursday, people.
That's just Thursday. That's just a Thursday night, okay?
That's just a regular Thursday here in the Oklahoma City area.
So some wonderful Oklahoma craft brews going on there. Friday, they got Rough Tail Hops and Holes, the Cornhole Tourney at Rough Tail Brewing Co. So if you guys want to come out to the hood, you know, a.k.a. Midwest City where I live and we do this podcast, feel free to come out, Tyler.
I have to watch myself when I get out of my car. Let me tell you, I'm just kidding. It's not bad. It's a lovely place.
That's a misnomer, everybody. Midwest City is just fine. And they have Rough Tail. So,
but I hear about that Dell City, though. Ooh.
Dell City's awful. I want to say bad things about Dell City, but this is a family podcast, so we won't do that.
But talking about Rough Tail, I love their bar that got attached to the brewery where you get the edition batch beer.
Hey, well, didn't we all do a Rough Tail tour there recently?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, it was awesome. One of my greatest times here.
Kieran, why don't you tell us about that?
Well, you can drive all the way to the crap heart of OKC, aka Midwest City. And if you drive to Rothtail, and we managed to get a Groupon. So if you guys like Groupons out there, you can. I'm sure Rothtail still has one up there. And they gave you a free tour of Rothtail, where we got quite a few tastings. And we were led around by the owners, who were really knowledgeable about their beers.
But, yeah, what was that? What was that, a group of what, 20 of us, I think?
I think that's 20 of us, yeah.
All of us had Groupons.
And we got a growler. It was awesome. And like, but my favorite part was the actual bar connected to it. And they sell beer at that bar that you can't get anywhere else. They're not going to put in cans. They're not going to put into bottles. You can only buy it at that bar. And I had this amazing gingerbread ale there. So big shout out to Rothtail.
Absolutely. Those guys set up. It's kind of an off bar from their actual brew shop where they do their cans of Rothtail that you guys can get at the store. And they have a bunch of different stuff on tap you can get, as well as merchandise there. So Rothtail, shout out to Rothtail. We loved the beer tour there. Got it on a Groupon, which is even better. So Rothtail's doing their cornhole tourney on Friday, May 15th. Anthem Brewing Company is doing another. Oh, they're doing their tapping at 6 p.m. on Friday at Tap Works. Boulevard Brewing Company, which is actually from Kansas, so I'm wondering why they're on the craft brew stuff, but I guess Kansas is close enough. They're doing their tapping there at 8 p.m. at Tap Works. We got a Tap Invasion do over at Oak and Ore. We got Elk Valley Brewing Nemesis and Coffee Nemesis tapping at Oak and Ore as well on Friday. So a lot to go on there. Saturday, Kieran already mentioned it. We have the 5th annual Oklahoma Craft Brew Festival, or Craft Beer Festival. Kieran, how's that work?
I went online and bought a ticket. There's two tastings. I believe one's from, I'm making this up right now, so apologies, but one's from around about 3 to 6, and the other's 6 to 9. It might be 2 to 4, 4 to 8. You need to look up properly, but you get 3 4-hour, as much beer as you want. You get a free glass, and it sounds awesome. I cannot wait to go.
As much beer as you want?
As much beer as you, as my small tummy can take.
You're going to have to get an Uber or a Lyft or walk or bicycle. Is bicycling allowed when you drink?
No, that's illegal.
Oh, okay. Well, I have to get rid of my 10-speed then. Okay, and finally on Sunday, May 17th, we have the OCBF Hangover Brunch and Founders Tap Invasion at Oak and Ore. So by the time you hear this on Thursday, there are still 4 great days of events. Check them out. Again, follow them on Twitter, at Thirsty Beagle, at Beer is Okay. Yeah, Facebook, Oklahoma City Craft Beer Week.
Well, so I just want to say, we did digress quite a bit here, but fair warning, we did tell you last week that we would go ahead and talk about events in the city. This is a big event. This is something that, you know, we typically go to, we typically enjoy, but you know what I think you all really want to hear? You want to hear what an Englishman has to say about the Oklahoma City Energy and this season thus far, as well as the future. So, Kieran, if you would, please take us away to your faraway magical land of England.
Okay, we're now back in England. Slash, we're now going to go back to OKC. Okay, one of my favorite things about OKC Energy is that back home, you're born, you follow your local club, but your local club, and I'm not trying to show off here, but your local club could be It could be like 100 years old.
Got him.
Yeah, but with Energy, you're going to be supporting them from the very beginning. And I love it that, you know, there's a good chance that the Energy could one day be the MLS, being the MLS team with the way the it's expanding. And so how amazing is it to be saying, like, I followed OKC Energy from the start and seeing them hit the big time. So one of the best things I love about supporting the Energy is that you're there right at the very beginning.
Well, Kieran, why don't you tell us how it works back in England? Because here you have to put in a bid to get an MLS team and MLS has to choose you. But how does it work back in England?
Okay, so in England you can still create a team, but we have something called promotion and relegation.
Oh, those are dirty words here.
Dirty words, dirty words. It's like socialism or communism.
This is a family podcast here.
But back home, you have...
America.
I can't even remember how many leagues there are, so I'm going to make up a number and say like 20 leagues. You got the main 6-7, and then you got Blue Diamond North, Blue Diamond South, and different leagues. And if you are at the top 2-3 teams at the top of the league, you get promoted.
Hold the phone, though. What in the world? Blue Diamond North, Blue Diamond South? Is it, like, how many leagues can this small country have?
Isn't Blue Diamond like tea? Isn't that like a tea manufacturer?
It's like a really
I'm pretty
bad
sure there's a tea
company.
Manufacturer. And do they have a black diamond? Because I'm pretty sure that's for skiing.
No, Blue Diamond, let me tell you, is a very classy cider, which you can buy for $1 for a 2-liter bottle.
You're living in the United States of A, and that does not exist here. Thank you.
2 liters, that's going to be like 500 gallons.
Cider? Who drinks cider?
Who drinks cider?
Not this guy. I drink beer.
So keep going. Won't you keep telling us about your system?
We have promotion, relegation. The best teams keep on getting promoted. And so therefore, any team can get up to the Premier League, the Wonderland, for billions of dollars of TV rights. And however, the one downside about our teams is that unfortunately, wherever you're born, you got to follow that team. And I'm born from a county called Norfolk. And for those Americans who like to know a bit about geography, I am the equivalent to Arkansas. So as you can tell, I very much love my family.
I hear families shag each other in that area. I don't know. Can I say shag? Is that still family appropriate?
No, but
Austin Powers said it, so I'm sure.
Yeah, he did. He did. He said. So you guys like shagging each other around there? Yes.
Yeah. So, but luckily, I have my family members.
Did they have a British version of Deliverance there? Like, did they make that movie? Did they remake movies like British version of Deliverance?
Heard of Deliverance, but I don't know if I watched it. No. But I'm grateful I have relations with my family. If I'm Gareth Evans out there for energy, he's from Wales. So he's very friendly with the local sheep in his area.
Gaz, if you're listening to that, thanks for the beer pop. Gaz, if you're listening to that, we love you. I'm not saying that your people do that. I think that's just stereotype. But if you want to put things right, maybe you can come on the podcast and tell us if that's true or not, okay?
And also, if you want to backhand Kieran, we'll totally allow that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll even videotape it so that we can show the internet world, you know, exactly what went on.
Sounds wonderful.
And no one will file any charges against
Nobody.
You. I promise you. At you'll all. Have that in writing. With Kieran's signature.
That's right. So, Kieran, what other thoughts do you have from an Englishman?
One thing I get my head around is this whole tailgating business. Like, it took me a while because back home you go to your local bar, local pub before a game and have a few with the locals there. But, and you know, I'm starting to enjoy this tailgate business. We never really had it before. And
it's
great
cheaper.
Fun. It's a lot cheaper. You can bring your own food. Sometimes Jimmy or James might come along like he did at Tulsa and bring some beers for us, which was great. And I don't really know. Like, I've heard some interesting comments like, there's a turnover and things like that, which is, you know, using the Americanism words to explain things is always quite bemusing to me.
Well, you know, that's the technical definition of somebody giving the ball away is a turnover.
I always thought to myself, doesn't a turnover mean you've turned over the ball? You've turned over possession? I mean,
the only turnover
I thought
heard.
It made sense. I don't know. I'm just an American.
When I turn over from my back to my front, when I'm in bed asleep.
Fair enough. Any other thoughts from an Englishman, Kieran?
Not at the moment, but let me give it a think, and maybe in a future podcast I can come up with another list.
We only get one segment, Kieran. You can't just keep doing this.
Well, I'm sure there's plenty.
Think you're special?
Yeah. I am Ryan Hernandez, and the only reason why I'm on this podcast is because I'm Daniel's little brother. Hey,
exactly, so your mic time is limited.
Ryan, I know you're going to listen to this.
And we love you, but hate you.
Yes. All right, well, we hope that was educational for you guys, and you learned a lot from our resident Englishman, Kieran Walsh. Now what we'll do is we'll go into what's going on around the USL League.
Well, first, before we go around the league, I'm going to go ahead and say, is it not sad that Kieran is teaching American, like, history?
So for those of you guys who don't know, our beloved Kieran Walsh teaches American history in schools.
I tell him that we won the war, and you still guys are still under British control.
Doesn't surprise me. Anyways, I digress. So let's go ahead and go around the league a little bit. First up, we had Charlotte playing Richmond. They spanked 3-0. And honestly,
die by the sword.
Die by the sword.
Oh man, we listened to that, and the announcer just kept every time Charlotte scored, die by the sword. And if you watch the highlights, they show three different perspectives of it with the same audio. So you hear die by the sword.
Die by the sword.
Die by the sword.
You hear that 9 times.
Guys, hold on, Tyler. Please, if you haven't done anything, but go listen to the highlights of this game, Charlotte versus Richmond. Please, you won't regret it.
It was at Charlotte. Charlotte did dominate. There was lots of pressure on goalies from both sides in the very beginning of the game. Very early on, Richmond was... After that Lee red card, though, Richmond seemed to get real frustrated, and then Charlotte just kind of took it away.
Yeah, Alex Lee, he was actually a youth player for FC Dallas back in the day. I remember him, and he played for Richmond, who took their first loss of the season. Were a very, very good team, but Charlotte really took that game over and just dominated Richmond, which I think was a surprise for everybody, but good win for them.
And, well, I thought what was most impressive about the red card was the Alex Lee elbow to the face.
Yes.
It was pretty amazing.
If you're going to get a red card, you might as well just go all out. I mean,
and he just stopped. He's like, I'm not going to get a red card.
I'm still confused whether or not he did it on purpose, but at the same time, I mean, you could tell it was kind of vicious. It was at least vicious, if not blatant.
I feel bad. I can't even remember. It was a right back for Richmond, and it was towards the end when like Charlotte was just completely dominating. And the right back for Richmond just shoved, almost like rugby tackled the player when he ran past him with the ball. Do you guys see that in the highlights?
No, because we don't watch rugby here.
Okay.
Well, I did see the tackle, though, and that's not the same. That's not the one that warranted the red card, though.
I think he got like a yellow card. And
I'm pretty sure he did get booked for that, though.
So what I'm most worried about is when we play against these guys and what's going to happen to our coach, James Ritchie. When he sees his elbows to the face and like pushes and shoves.
Oh, he's gonna throw a tantrum, and he's probably gonna win the battle. He's gonna take on the whole
next
team.
Mayweather match. It's gonna be awesome. Yeah.
Now, that's way more eventful than the Mayweather match. Let's be honest here.
No, it's gonna be Mel Gibson, the Road Warrior.
Mad Max.
I tell you what, the Big Dane, Jimmy Nielsen, is going to have to run out there in midfield, probably grab Coach Richie and get him off the field if something like that happens, I tell you what.
the next game was actually Harrisburg City Islanders versus the New York Red Bulls 2.
Oh my goodness, that one was a big one. Did you guys hear the attendance on that game?
12, I think.
5?
380. Oh, man,
380 people at New York Red Bulls 2. They have a brand new stadium.
Like, how much attendance they get to the normal MLS team? Like 550?
No, I'm gonna go ahead and contradict what Daniel said last week about New York Red Bulls MLS team. They actually have a pretty good come out to their game. I just don't think anybody's gonna want to see a second tier team. Like, who wants to, like, when they have when they already have it, who really wants to come out and see that second tier? Like that's one of the big problems I see with this whole, hey, we're going to have our Seattle Sounders 2, our LA Galaxy 2, our New York Red Bulls 2, but you know, that's another segment for another time.
Well, good to point, be fair, I mean, New York metropolitan area has what, 7.5 billion people in it, and they can only get 380 to their stadium.
I'm not disagreeing with you that is a sad number. I'm just saying, like, they have so many other sports there and so many other things going on there that they'd rather do than see a second tier team.
I don't know. I've heard New York really isn't, I don't know, that popular. There's not really that much to do, so.
Yeah, you know, they don't have to. I mean,
their second MLS team uses a baseball pitch.
This is true. This is true. I'll just say,
although
this,
it's sad, in their defense, they're planning on building a stadium, a soccer specific, in the Bronx.
Well, so is New York Red Bulls too. Or I'm sorry, so is New York Red Bulls.
Well, they play in New Jersey, just like every other New York team, except for the baseball team. So, you know, if you're going to call yourself a city, go by the right city, because they're geographically handicapped there.
Well, here's the deal. New York City, you got a team that plays in New Jersey. You got a team that plays at Yankee Stadium. You got a team that is NASL and plays at a college campus. Why don't you guys get your shit together? For real. I mean, you guys have so many people there, so much money invested in your teams. You got Red Bull, the biggest, you know, was the energy drink company in the world. You got NYCFC, which is backed by Manchester City too, so all that oil money.
And
you got
star
the Cosmos.
Goes back to Man City as well.
Yeah, hey, don't talk about Frank Lampard that way. But, you know, you got the Cosmos, who have a ton of money as well.
But they had Pelé.
They did have Pelé. And
they got Raul.
Beckenbauer. Beckenbauer. Now they have Raul, yeah. Yeah. But you guys can't figure it out. You can't get one dadgum stadium inside your actual city limits. Will you guys figure it out, please? Somebody figure it out.
I mean, I'm sure you're aware of this, but like the New York Jets and New York Giants, they both play in New Jersey. The entire city just needs to figure out their sports.
Well, you guys are – I know you remember this, but back in the day when MLS was starting, New York Red Bulls was New York slash
– New Jersey Metro Stars.
Metro Stars, yeah. So anyways, all I know is that here in Oklahoma, I wouldn't want the Oklahoma City slash Dallas burn or whatever it was. Yes. So, anyways, get your stuff together.
If we switch with or like divided with Stillwater, I would that's where I'd lose my fandom.
All you Stillwater listeners out there, I know there are 10 of you. Please,
that's being generous.
Yeah, don't be upset with us, but
you can be upset with me as a person, not us as a podcast.
I just don't get it. I mean, LA. They have a stadium there in Carson, which is still L.A.
Different city limits.
It's better than New Jersey.
Yeah. Honestly, though, if you think about it, if you've ever been in the area, the metropolitan area, it's not very far. It's maybe like a 20, 30-minute drive to get to the New Jersey limits.
Is it like the Edmonds?
Like to get to that area. Depending on traffic.
Well, sure, 20, you take the tunnel, but, I mean, still, you know, you have Manhattan, you have all the boroughs to build a stadium. Build a stadium in New York. If you're going to call yourself New York City FC, quit playing in Yankee Stadium. That's all we're saying.
Exactly. And there's only one team that claims himself professionally as New Jersey, which is bad, but, you know, who wants to really claim New Jersey anyways?
I know nobody from New York does, but they follow about 5 teams that are supposed to be New York teams there. So anyways, we digressed. Point is, New York Red Bulls 2 had 380 fans at their game. Now, that is bad. I don't care if you played the games in Timbuktu or Alaska. 380 fans, probably 5 of them actually showed up. I watched the replay of that. I mean, there definitely wasn't 380 people there. But anyways, I digress. Go on, Ty.
So Toronto and Rochester, the Rhinos,
My gosh, the Rhinos are doing it this year.
I agree.
Although they are lacking in fans, from what I've seen in the stands, from the numbers, they are not doing well attendance wise, which I guess you can say is none of our business. But at the same time, we like to keep up with the numbers a little bit. Like we're not hardcore about it, but it's sad to see such a good team get little out of their city.
Yeah, I mean, what, in this game, you know, Toronto had a red card in the 89th minute, and then a minute later, Rochester wins the game in the 90th minute. And how many people were there to see that? You know, I mean, that's unbelievable soccer. Can't ask for more.
What really scared me about the Rhinos is how quick their passing were. Like, when we play against them, that's what I'm scared about, their quick passing by the Rhinos. And
yeah.
Like, Toronto's back four was also shocking as well. Their goalkeeper kept them in it.
They mirror their MLS team because Toronto has everything up front with Giovinco and Michael Bradley in the middle and Josie Alto at top, but their defense is terrible in MLS and it's terrible in USL as well. So,
well, another crazy little thing about it is, you know, the funny thing here is, they had weather too, Oklahoma. It poured the entire game. They had weather too. My God. Anyways, so like it was pouring the entire game. Players played on. The turf started to look a little rough too at some points. But, you know, it was actually kind of refreshing to see that there was actually still that, you know, what, 1,000 or so fans out there. There's probably more than that, but I think they counted about 3,800 or something like that.
Well, if that's true, that's nice. But I will say this, they are unbeaten, 6-0-2. They haven't lost a game yet. And you know what you call weather when you have to play in it at home against other teams? You call that an advantage, and that's exactly what it was for Rochester. And they got the 1-0 win against Toronto. They are one of the only unbeaten teams in the league. Thank goodness they play in the East, so we don't have to contend with them.
Them and Charleston are both on the up, I would say.
Absolutely.
Definitely remaining unbeaten. They are the tops right now. They have not been beaten. They've tied, but they have not been beaten, which is still very impressive at this point.
Speaking of Charleston, Ty, what do you got next?
Pittsburgh spanked Charleston, I'm sorry.
Oh, boy, right.
Flip-flop. Try that again. You just said they were unbeaten, so yeah, try that again.
Oh, gosh, I'm sorry. Charleston spanked Pittsburgh 3-1. The only thing I can really take from that has stuck to me, besides the fact that Charleston dominated that game, was the wonderful volley from Zach Prince. I think it was the first goal of the game. No, it might have been the second goal of the game. It was incredible. It was something that I dream about doing.
Yeah, I mean, he led the game off perfectly. You know, thinking about a team that hasn't lost a game yet, the absolute best thing you can do early in the game is what Zach Prince did. It's basically just put a dagger in the hearts of Pittsburgh, and that's what happened. I mean, Zach Prince scored, and then Dane Kelly scored in the 64th minute, and then Dante Marini scored in the 72nd minute before Pittsburgh even got on the board. I mean, this game was over when Zach Prince hit that volley, and it wasn't close from then on, so...
Well, then there was St. Louis and Wilmington, Hammerheads FC. St. Louis now.
Die by the sword!
No, that's Charlotte.
Sorry, that didn't apply here.
And was Charlotte the one with the American football pitch?
I think they played on it. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, we play on one that. Pitch as well, so I don't really hate
it's
too
true.
Much.
It's no, true. It's better than. Got to use Die by the Sword. You have to say it again. I mean, it was a beautiful, beautiful thing.
But you know, I've been looking at some teams the last few weeks, mostly the last two, therefore, for a while, and I've been thinking there's some teams on the rise, and I think St. Louis and Austin are two of those teams on the rise. St. Louis, they've just been a little more dominant lately. They've been strong. They've been solid, especially this last game. They held possession. They did well against a strong Wilmington team. Wilmington is a solid club, and they held their own and did well against them.
And I believe it was like their first home win, right?
Wilmington is 1-4-2, tie.
They just beat somebody like 4-1 last week.
I think they might have, but that was their only win.
I'm only looking at the last 2 weeks, and the last 2 weeks tell me that they were doing solid. Anyways, so take what I say with a grain of salt, and let me tell you, I'm only looking at the last 2 weeks, and I drink. So there's that.
That was a good win for St. Louis. They stole it there at the end. I think that's their second win in a row.
That Fink 82nd minute, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, 82nd minute winner against St. Louis. It was good. It was a good header. Don't get me wrong. Beautiful placement and everything. Goalie was in the wrong spot.
Yeah, he was.
Made the wrong positioning. So it kind of just landed perfectly for them to where the other team couldn't do anything, even though they should have done something different. So, it was exciting, although kind of boring in the fact that there was no goals except for the last one.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a St. Louis fan, you absolutely love that game. If you're the average viewer, well, you probably slept up until you heard the crowd and all. And they scored off of a header. So, St. Louis with a couple game win streak and taking care of business at home. I tell you what, I'm really, really excited about this next one. I watched the full game of this full replay. So,
the Austin Aztecs.
That was a great game.
Oh, yeah. They had a real exciting match against the Salt Lake City, or, well, what is it? Real Monarchs. another number two. But anyways, the Monarchs, they went down 2-3 from the Aztecs. And we kind of have a little bit of, I think, without knowing it, our podcast has a little soft spot for the Aztecs.
Well, Austin is probably the greatest city in the world, hook 'em horns, but I love Austin.
Please don't.
We would have a dear friend down in Austin. A shout out to Sumit Som.
Sumit, we love you. We miss you. Come on the podcast. But yes, we love Austin here. Not the team, just the city. But we also, they're kind of one of those teams that I mentioned last week where they do their own thing. You know, they have an affiliation, but they're like us. They're kind of new. They're new to the USL Pro League and kind of making their way, and they're doing very well. So.
One thing that really impressed me, though, was Chris Tierpak. He was fantastic. Oh my gosh, that guy was so good. He he was fantastic, and the rest of the team was as well. Until sadly, a second goal trickle pass Lorendi.
Tell me who it looked like. Tell me who he looked like. One of our podcast hosts is going to host. He's going to hate what we're saying right now, but what did he look like?
It made me angry watching
Robert Green.
It was for the winner, wasn't it? Like the 88th minute goal.
Yeah.
It was the 92nd minute. And yes, it was a complete and utter Robert Green moment. For those of you who don't know, the mighty, mighty USA in World Cup played England, and Dempsey hit a wonderful shot, and it trickled.
It wasn't a wonderful shot.
Hold on. We might be talking about two separate goals here, though, guys, because Lorendi from Austin did this same thing, had the little trickler pass him, and then Fernandez in the 92nd minute, you said the 92nd, had the one fumble through him.
Yeah, it was the last goal. Yeah.
So the last goal was very Robert Green-esque. The one before that,
it was Kalen Ryden in the 87th minute. Tierpak had the first one there.
Okay, so Tierpak had the first one there. But the Monarchs, they had one that when they went up 2-1, there was a little trickler. I don't know who went off because there was a lot of deflections, but it was like a turtle. just trickling into the goal, and Lorendi just fumbled it through. And yeah, no. So, you know, that was another, I guess, you know, maybe Robert Greene-esque moment. Very sad. That final goal, though, that final goal was even worse.
It brought back nightmares for me. I'm not
gonna lie. It brought back great, great memories for me.
It hurts me twice, not only as an Englishman, but Robert Greene, he came through our youth system from Norwich, played for Norwich for a good few years. So it not only hurt me as an Englishman, but it hurt me as a Norfolk Norwich guy.
So is this where your Norwich rant goes?
Yeah, this is where I'm going to start.
This is where I have to cut you off. No more beer for you.
Hey, we're both greens. Norwich is green. Energy is green.
That's kind of the same. So, yes.
Yeah.
Anyways.
There's something there. I don't know.
Goodness. What an exciting game that was, though. You know, those two goals from Austin at the end in the 87th and the 92nd minute.
But Lee changed three times, like 1-0, yes. 2-1, 2-1.
Two goals in 5 minutes.
Ridiculous.
Is what got Austin the win at home. So, you know, their fans were going crazy. That one was fun to watch over again, even not as a fan of either of the teams. That was a fun game to watch. So,
the second to last one we have is going to be Seattle Sounders FC 2 versus Sacramento Republic, our reigning champs of the USL.
Beatdown.
Yeah, we already kind of discussed it earlier. It was definitely a beatdown. Now, Roro. That is something you all need to remember.
Roro.
Rodrigo Lopez is a beast.
He's a beast.
He's currently top scorer. Isn't he for the league?
I think he might be, yeah.
I think he's like top.
Yeah, he's a great player. I mean, he not only does he score goals, but he facilitates goals. I mean, he had their second goal of the game, and he assisted the third against a very good Seattle team. So,
and like we were making fun of like Seattle saying that Dempsey will be playing for them, but I really do believe that Lopez could be a future MLS star. Like, I think he's definitely one to watch.
Well, you know, if Sacramento has their way, he will be an MLS star because they're trying to get into the league. So,
and to be honest, Sacramento will have their way. I mean, it's just a matter of time.
They will. Their attendance was 11,000 for that game, which is pretty good. Let's be honest.
Just quickly go back to Lopez. My favorite thing about him was, did you guys see his celebration after the goal he scored?
No, I did not pay attention to that. I was more mesmerized by
all his teammates to come in. Did a little samba dance.
Oh, yeah, right in front of the fans. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I saw that. It was
a beautiful sight to see.
We Tyler and I didn't like that because we can't samba dance at all.
I'm white.
So samba dancing is outside of the things we can do. So anyways, yeah, no, Roro was great in that game. He continues to be great all season. And Sacramento was great. They absolutely stomped Seattle 3-0. I mean, it wasn't close from the beginning to the end. So
yeah, I mean, Lopez is averaging so far he's got 6 goals, 3 assists on the season in 8 games. So he's kind of tearing it up there. The only other person that's really up there is Rob Vincent from Pittsburgh. Got the same amount in 7 games. So we'll see if he kind of brings that same level to the next. That's what I'm seeing here now is Lopez is tops in the league. Sacramento, just a matter of time before they make that MLS jump.
Yeah, they're a big club. They average 11,000 fans, and the 11,000 fans love seeing 3 goals.
Yeah.
On top of that, 11,000 fans for a USL team. Who does that tops last year in the MLS? My gosh, Chivas? They average like 8,000 fans. And here we've got some Sacramento Republic silly team from the second tier, what they like to call, averaging it like what they're averaging like 10,000 fans this season.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And they would do a lot more. I think they're doing some renovations to their stadium. So they have more coming, basically. I think they are on the upward trajectory for sure.
Not only do I have a hot spot for Sac Republic, unless they play My Energy, not only is it because they're from California, but they have a children's hospital as their advertisement on their jerseys. Children's hospital. Come on. How do you hate that?
I prefer a beer sponsor.
Personally, I probably do too.
I was just thinking about their attendance. Sorry, guys. This is me being a bit delayed, but you said 11,000 for their attendance.
Just this last week.
And like, what I was thinking about Brentford, who's just being promoted to the Premier League, their stadium holds like just over like 10,000. So their attendance was higher than a future Premier League team.
Pretty crazy.
Like, that is crazy.
Am I allowed to say that that's sad?
Well,
Brentford's not tiny. Tell me I'm allowed. Just tell me I'm allowed. It's okay. It's okay if you tell me I'm allowed to say that's sad. I love the Premier League, but it's sad.
I think that's making you excited about the league, the NS, you know, the USL, that there's teams now who are on par with a Premier League team. Like, that's exciting.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Now, the last game that we're going to cover, because it is Arizona United versus Tulsa Roughnecks. And Arizona led.
They killed us, man. Arizona killed us. Do we have wished for like an earthquake to take both the teams? Is that fair?
But this is the best possible solution that I could have for this game.
Yeah, it's probably true. A draw. Yeah.
So I mean, Arizona led long and early. They were dominant for a big portion of the game, but I guess they just couldn't shake it. They couldn't stop the draw from our
didn't
most
take their chances.
Our yeah. most hated rivals. Absolutely. That is Tulsa.
Well, you know, I just want to add that Tulsa is a whopping 1-3-2 now and are tied for bottom of the league in the Western Conference, which is exactly where we hope they would be. This game, they didn't even deserve a draw, let's be honest. And, you know, I know there are Tulsa people who are going to listen to this. We don't mean to hate, but we're hating a little bit. I mean, I watched that Arizona-Tulsa game and Arizona was the better team. They just didn't take their chances.
I'm going to be honest. I'm just going to hate on Tulsa because I'm going to hate on Tulsa. And they really, I thought they dominated that. They
completely dominated the game.
They had more chances. Did better with their chances. And, you know, it's not a big deal. I mean, we've been, you know, manhandled a little bit before. So, you know, that sort of thing happens, but whatever, you know. And so I am going to be a little bit biased against Tulsa because they are Tulsa, and we would love to hear the Roughnecks and their podcast banter back. Because
but one thing I do hate about that game was the Tulsa goal was pretty good.
Yeah, well, it was a good goal. I mean, no, they saved it for the end, but I mean, you can't, you know, I mean, it was a good goal. They took their chance well. Yeah, you have to. I mean, their only chance of the game, they took it very well, you know, and you know, I mean, it's a draw. Doesn't mean there's any good, but it was a draw for them. And honestly, they'll probably take that one away at Arizona. So
basically my final notes on the games that have occurred thus far. Well, I'm going to make a note here. There are going to be games on Tuesday. There's a game Tuesday. There is two or three games Wednesday. Two or three games Wednesday. We're unable to cover. We will cover them next week. Don't you worry. That will be on the cast next week. But final notes are going to be Rochester and Charleston remain unbeaten. On the rise, I'm going to call St. Louis and Austin. And on the fall, I'm going to call Arizona and Pittsburgh. Now, do you guys have any other notes you want to throw into there?
Yeah, go ahead, Kieran.
Okay, well, I was just thinking, like, for those listeners out there who are wondering how they can see these goals, I just want to say, like, a big shout out to the USL fan page on Facebook. And in particular, this guy called Mike Dilson, who's created a whole Reddit page to USL. And he makes does links to all the highlights. And that's how I managed to watch every single game and all these goals. So I just want to give two big shout-outs to those two as well.
Yeah, so if you're a super nerd, you can go onto Reddit. Reddit is like, it's like the new Twitter. Yeah, right? It's like...
How you waste time at work.
You find literally everything there.
Yeah, you do. And they have, you know...
And the bad stuff.
The bad stuff.
And the no-no stuff.
Hey, this is a family podcast, okay?
Hey, it's a no-no.
It is. Okay. Well, if you're looking for some stuff, they do have a USL subreddit, which is basically like a community off of Reddit where you can find these things. And like Kieran said, you know, look up that guy's name. He does highlights. You can find those things there.
You can also find that on the USL fan page. They have a official page and they have a fan page on Facebook. If you need any information on that, you can message either our Twitter account or you can message our Facebook account, and we'd be more than happy to just go ahead and give you a link to that and get you set up there.
Absolutely. And on top of that, you know, all of the USL games are streamed live on YouTube, and it's an agreement that the USL Pro League has with USL teams. So the way it works is that home teams in the USL have to stream the game on YouTube. So all you have to do is look up these teams on YouTube, aka Sacramento Republic, Seattle Sounders FC2, OKC Energy. If you look these teams up on YouTube, all you have to do is find their page on YouTube, and they will have them streaming there. So you can go back and look at old games. You can look at anything you really want. It's not MLS where it's, you know, hidden or behind a paywall. All of this stuff is free, which is a beautiful thing for USL Pro, because you can go back and look at games that happened at the beginning of the season. You can look at games that happened last season. You can look at the championship games. So lots to see there on YouTube. I think I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the Western Conference table right now, and so you guys will know where OKC Energy is at. So, as we mentioned, Sacramento FC, they have a great team. They did beat Seattle Sounders FC 3-0. That put them at the top with 15 points. Seattle Sounders 2 is right behind them with 13 points. And if you kind of go down... we're in 10th place right now with 8 points, but it does need to be mentioned that we've only played 5 games. 5 games is the least amount of games that pretty much any team in the league has played. And so we have 3 games on the second-place Seattle Sounders team. We have 4 games on Sacramento, who has played 9. So basically, the point I'm trying to make is we have plenty of games to make up this point total, and we do have 8 points. So...
Well, yeah, having 2 games in hand is extremely, extremely, like, I guess, perfect.
We've got 3 games in hand.
To the average, we have 2, I would say, because the last 2 places on the playoff line are showing me LA Galaxy and Portland Timbers 2, and they have both played 7 games. So we got 2 games in hand to them, and they have 10 points. So we're 2 points below them. So we have 2 games to make up 2 points and be above them, which is
doable. Yeah, very doable.
Definitely doable. It's more than doable. I think it'll happen. I'm going to claim extreme optimism here. I'll say it'll happen.
Well, so, yeah, it's like I said, besides FC Montreal, who has 0 points, a.k.a. they've lost every game, we have played the least amount of games in USL Pro in 5, and FC Montreal has played 5 as well. Every team has played more. So when you look at that, you know, if you win a game, that's 3 points. So looking at that, you know, we have 2 games on the teams that are in front of us in the playoff race, but, you know, that's very important, because 2 games could be 6 points, and that's a huge swing in the Western Conference standing. So,
oh yeah, and that 6 points could actually put us up to 14 points total, and second in the Western Conference.
That'd be second. Yeah, absolutely. So just so you guys know the importance of games in hand, which is we have quite a few, and points, 3 points is a win, and 1 point is a draw. So if we draw a game, we get 1 point.
Also, if you look at the first team in the league, Sacramento Republic has 15 points in 9 games. They have played 4 more games. That means what to us? That means we have 7 points below them, but 4 games in hand.
You know how much 4 games?
Yeah, 2 wins and a draw, and we're at level with them.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, it needs to be mentioned that we have plenty of games to play. Like we mentioned earlier in the future portion of the segment, you know, we play the 15th against Seattle. 2 days later, we play the Vancouver Whitecaps 2. And then not long after that, in May 23rd, we play Sacramento Republic, who is top in the league. So we have quite a few games coming up. With the game
not top in the league, top in the Western Conference, top in the Western Conference.
Well,
I don't really care about the East right now because they hold, unless we're playing them, they really hold not much to us. So I mean, when the playoffs come and we're in, which crossing those fingers, knocking on some wood, I believe that we will be in.
Absolutely. Kieran, what were you saying?
I'd say all ICS is getting further and further away from Tulsa with those games in hand.
Yes,
which is like
an
even nicer sight to see.
Well, we have 1 game in hand and 3 points on them. So what does that say about them?
And we get to play them again at home, which is another 3 points. So anyways, we won't get into that. We've hated on Tulsa enough in this podcast.
Yes.
I've got one more note, though, for you guys.
Yeah.
And I was saying, I think we're all hoping to go see the away game at Skinny Slims this Friday, right?
Yes.
And therefore, I'm sure you guys would love any listeners to come to that game and to give you guys feedback, some questions.
Yes, please do.
Please.
So I know I certainly will be giving some advice. Like, keep that English guy. He's the best one ever.
Yeah, I mean, we'd like him. He's all right.
He's the greater Ryan Hernandez.
That's right. Yes, absolutely. So Friday for the Skinny Slims watch party for the away game, we will be there, and we plan on being there for all the watch parties for the home, away games, as well as the tailgates for the home games. We'd love for you guys to come out, give us feedback, and have a beer with us. Yeah, Tyler?
Of course. Yeah, no, I plan on being there. A no-brainer.
All right, so we've always wanted to do this, and now we get to do it. Bam. Q&A.
You mean we have actual listeners?
Yes. And they suggested questions. So
we have 4 listeners.
Thanks, Tyler.
4 questions.
2 of them don't mean anything, but 2 of them do. So let's start with our first one. From at Clayton Harstad. What can we as fans do to get more people out to Taft Stadium? What a great question. Tyler, what do you think?
Well, I think scientifically speaking, we need to go to social network. One of the biggest problems we have is reaching out to the Oklahoma base for social networking. That's something we try to do here, and we want you all to try to do there. And I know there's other aspects to it, but I'll let them explain that. But here, we want social network. We want to hit that up. We want to go to that. We want to make that one of our main go-tos. And, I think that's very important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Kieran, what do you think?
Well, I'm just a simple guy who believes in simple things. And I think one of the biggest things is to have passion about this team. So I really believe passion is contagious. So when you invite a friend, make sure you bring him down. Make sure that you're having a good time. Because if he sees that you're having a good time, that you're singing, that you're chanting, perhaps, sneak into the grid section where the hardcore fans are, then he's going to have a time of his life, something he's going to take home with him. That's a lot of fun. And then he'll start talking about it to his friends, his work colleagues, and slowly by word of mouth, more and more people will come.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I actually truly believe definitely incorporating your own friends and family, whatever it is, into the game is definitely going to help. That's definitely a strong aspect here.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the way to do it there, really. It's just a word of mouth, you know, bring a friend to the game. Bring them to the fun part of the stadium. But, hey, know your friends. If they're not going to want to stand up with us and take our shirts off in the second half, well, you maybe should suggest the family section, maybe, right? They have deals there.
Sit on the edge of us.
Yeah, sit on the edge.
sit away from us.
Hey, you have a section over there. Yeah,
it's not near us.
Yes, that McDonald's family stands.
McDonald's family stands. Yes, there are places you can do that. Yeah.
Yeah, McDonald's family stands, as the English say. Yeah.
All right. Well, to our second question, a very serious question from one of our favorite persons, from @s.som7. He asks, "Why does Tyler have such a lush, sensual voice?"
Yeah, well, you know, God's gift to man. It was brought here by my parents. Thank you, Misty and Mark. You have done very, very well. And I'd like to thank the beer. I really would. I think that's probably my number one. Calms me down, cools me out, gets me going.
Also, I want to thank Tyler, because as you can see, we're getting desperate. And so therefore, he's creating his own secret accounts to tweet about himself.
Always. I'm using those as also like secret personal accounts. So if you get that hit up, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid.
To all our millions of listeners out there, Tyler's gotten getting a little bit of a big head. So maybe we should bring him back down to earth.
If only you knew me, because that is not anywhere near what's going on here. Maybe a little bit.
All right, third question. I didn't write down the Twitter name. If somebody can grab that for me while I'm asking the question, Ty, if you don't mind looking that up for me. Question was, what other loan prospects from Sporting KC do you think could happen and when? So in case you guys don't know, we do have an affiliation with Sporting Kansas City and MLS. It's not like the
Jimmy's
affiliation. Yeah, Jimmy's old team. That's right. Jimmy Nielsen was a goalkeeper for that team when they won the MLS Cup. It's not like the affiliations you see with Seattle Sounders 2 or Toronto 2 or whatever, where we are not a reserve team of Sporting Kansas City. The rules stipulate that they can lend us up to four players during the season. That's it. And we can use those players throughout the year. Right now, we only have one loan player. It's Mikey Lopez. Last year, we had up to four. This season, we only have Mikey Lopez. So to answer that question myself, I'll give you a couple of players on Sporting KC's roster that I looked up that I think could be prospects to be loaned down to us. Jimmy Madronda was with us last season. He plays in the midfield. He was loaned to us, and he played a couple of games with us as well. Kevin Ellis, you guys might know. He played outside back for us on loan from Sporting KC last year. Somebody who hasn't played for us at all but is a young player who hasn't got minutes with Sporting KC is Connor Hallisley. He's 21 years old. I think he's got maybe some scrap minutes with Sporting KC, but he's a player. And then finally they have forward James Ansu Rogers, who's young. Doesn't have any minutes with Sporting KC, who could be a loan candidate. But as I talked about in the pod last week, the OKC Energy are a team known for wanting to build a roster that's their own players. So they, you know, last year we had to take players on, but this year we didn't. I kind of wish we would have got John Kempen back, but you know, having only one loan player is something going for us, really.
Actually, I was going to say, like, butt into that. And I was going to say, like, in a weird way, like, turn that question around. It's really exciting to see some of our players moving from our team to the MLS. So, like, Kempen, like, when he got called up.
Well, yeah, you know, Kempen ain't easy. But on top of that, like, it's really good to see some of those players kind of move up. It does show you that we're not looking to
become the second tier for a top league team. We're looking to become our own top league team. There are a lot of teams out there like that in the USL, and that is something we definitely respect.
Yeah, and if you look at Sporting KC, to be honest, I mean, a lot of it is based on what we do. But if you look at Sporting KC, just for their last game, they had Aiko Parr injured. They had De Jong injured. They had Chance Myers injured. You know, that's three players that start on their back line. So obviously, and there are young defenders where they're not going to loan. And they had Nagamura, who was one of their midfielders, injured. So, you know, when you look at injuries, they affect the ability of these teams to loan players out. They're not going to loan players out if they need them, straight up.
So the Twitter handle that you were looking for was, or earlier, that is Daniel, is at right and wrong. That's right spelled WRIGHTANDWRONG.
Yes, thank you. That was a great question. So I'm sorry for missing you the first time, but that was a good question. So, any other questions we have?
We do actually have one more from Facebook. It was from a Colin Mall. He asks, what are the chances hometown player Byers gets a start in goal?
Good question. If you listen to our ugly segment from last podcast, you may think there's an easy answer to this question, but there's probably a little bit more involved. Go ahead, Ty Ty.
Well, the problem here is Newton's still our number one. Like, that's a fact. But I do think Byers, if Newton has another couple of games like he did, and I don't think he will. I will say to state that I think Newton will have a couple of better games. But if Newton does have a couple of games in a row like he will, maybe Byers will get his shot, and I do think he deserves it. But I don't know what you guys think, but I do think he deserves it.
Can I just come in here? As a Robert Green fan, you know, I got a sticker.
No, you can't come in here.
But I'm saying, like, I always feel sorry for the goalkeepers because I always feel like they're always out on a limb that if they make that one mistake, it's a lot more obvious. Like, if a striker, I'm trying to think, like, the only thing that's coming to my mind.
If a striker misses an easy goal, yeah, they don't get the backlash. I get that.
He's always offside. He's always missing. He's not going to get the same kind of backlash as like a goalkeeper who lets in like a silly mistake.
I'm really feeling this conversation now. Yeah, keep me going. Yeah, I love it.
Sorry for goalkeepers. Yeah. Like, if they make a mistake, it's a lot more obvious than every single other member of that team.
Absolutely. You know, we're all taught from a young age that defense is about the whole team playing defense, even lazy strikers like Tyler. You know, everybody's involved playing defense. It starts up top, it works all the way back. So,
hey, you're throwing me under the bus, but there's like hundreds upon millions of us out there. So, you know, I am Tyler one out of a whole breed. I'm like, you know.
Yeah, strikers are always known for being lazy like that. But, yeah, I mean, you know, defense starts all the way back. It's a breakdown from the top all the way down that leads to a goal. And so it's tough so to...
I want to defend my boy Newton, you know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Oh, no. It's really tough to blame it all on the goalie. You know, I mean, we that's not what we want to do, but, yeah.
I just realized this is what got us Rob... has been trying to yell at me for every Red League Sunday.
that's exactly what it is. Oh my gosh.
Play some defense. It's not always the goalie's fault. Oh, lazy strikers.
Gosh, man, he
Also your offside ratio would go way down, Tyler, as well.
Yeah,
this is absolutely this is not about me. This is about, you know,
this is about the team that we love, Oklahoma City.
No, we all think that Newton's going to have a bounce back game or two, and he's shown to be a quality keeper in this league, so we're all rooting for him. But before we close up here, does anybody have anything to add to the Q&A?
To Colin's question, I do want to say this is something that we will probably ask. If we get the opportunity, we'll ask Jimmy. We'll say, hey, look, what do you think about this? Because we all want to see him or buyers. We want to see him succeed. He's from Oklahoma City.
Like, I've got an idea, boys.
Who wouldn't want to see that? Like, that's just beautiful.
Yeah, Kieran, what's your idea?
So I've got an idea. So when we play like an easy game, so basically our Tulsa home game, that's when we put him in goal.
Yeah.
So you can have, you know, well, he can have a debut against Tulsa.
I like that game. Idea.
Well, and here's the deal. We, you know, Ray Clark actually started games for us last season towards the end, so we don't know if it's going to be Byers or Clark, to be honest with you. I mean, we don't know the competition that goes on and during practice. That's something we don't get to see. So, you know, we do have to keep that in mind when we talk about this. But it is a good question to ask Jimmy, you know, if you know, the goalkeeping
if he's at least improve. Got
Byers, a hometown boy, in mind, at least.
Sure. Well, I mean, you know, why not? Clark is from Norman, too. I mean, they're both hometown boys. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, so...
You know, they are there. They're with us. They're hometown people. He's got to have them in mind at this point. I mean, no offense to Newton. I think Newton will bounce back. But keep them in mind.
Absolutely. So from there on, we appreciate your questions. Thank you guys for asking those. Again,
we want more.
Yes, please keep in please keep asking us questions. You can follow us at Jimmy's Army Pod on Twitter. That's at Jimmy's Army Pod. We're also on Facebook if you search Jimmy's Army Podcast. Both of those are original, can't find them anywhere else. So please follow us. Ask us questions, spread the word. We appreciate you listening to the podcast. We'll be back next week where we will talk about the results of the Seattle Sounders 2 game. And actually, as we'll also talk about the Vancouver Whitecaps game as well. So anything else, guys?
Well, there was also,
I just want to say that Tyler's just brought us a voice recorder. So perhaps you come down on Friday, maybe we can do a sound kit of some energy fans.
Yeah, keep listening in. We want to get the fans involved, and that's a big way to do that. So
we want to hear what you have to say. We want to record that. We want to just go ahead and throw that on here if it's relevant. If it's not, I mean, I'm sorry. But
Tyler's on the podcast. There's still a good chance.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm still here. but anyways... We also have some games coming up this week. I mean, we typically record this before we air it, so we will have some games on this, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, and during the week. And by the time you hear this, you may not hear some of those games. We will put those on there next week as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. So Friday at 8:30, come out to Skinny Slim's, 201 East Main Street in Bricktown. Come out, watch us play and beat Seattle Sounders FC2. We appreciate you listening to the podcast. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for having me on, guys, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely, Kieran. Good to have you. I mean, Ryan. All right, we'll see you.
You're the best Ryan we ever had.
Hello, this is Matt, the editor / producer of the Jimmy's Armies podcast. And I just wanted to say that if you guys noticed a drop in sound quality when we started the Q&A, that was because my server that I used to host what we used to talk, the program that we used to talk to record, went down. And so I had to throw up another one really fast, and I wasn't able to get everything set up the way it's usually set up and the way it's supposed to be set up. So there is a little dip in sound quality. I have fixed everything, got everything up and running again now, so you don't have to worry. Next week's sound should be 100% better than this little section of, like, starting from the Q&A to now. Besides that, I hope you enjoyed the pod, and I'm going to leave you guys with just a little blooper from this pod. If you have children and you don't want them to hear curse words, I would turn it off right now, but it is hilarious. And I had to throw it in there just to make fun of Tyler. And so without further ado, here that is.
That's right. Watch this latest Energy FC game Friday at 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time at Skinny Slim's.
But where is Skinny Slim's? You don't know where it's at.
Please,
it's on
Daddy,
Main
tell
Street.
Me where it
That's
is.
All I gotta know. God damn it.
What the fuck? You're doing the fucking advertisement. What the fuck?
Can you splice this together, Matt, and just have me say, you can locate Skinny Slims on 201
oh
East Main
gosh.
Street in downtown Oklahoma City.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay,
dude,
let me go.
Matt.
All right.
I did
Once everyone shuts up, I'll say
like, I did my little spiel where I was like, but where is Skinny Slims at? And he looks at me like, what the fuck? I don't know where that's at.
Dude, I know where it's at. I just don't know the address.
All right, Ty, go ahead.